On the first Sunday of Lent, we had an encounter with Jesus in the desert. On the second Sunday of Lent, we had an encounter with Jesus on the mountain. On the third Sunday of Lent, we had an encounter with Jesus at the well. The desert, the mountain, and the well are three holy places in the Bible where powerful encounters with God take place. I'm sure you can see that there's a pattern going on here. So on this fourth Sunday of Lent, we have an encounter with Jesus at the pool. And now, with a week of daylight saving time under our belt, and with the excellent warmer weather this week, highs predicted today and tomorrow, almost 70 degrees, we are definitely thinking about pools. But the pools in the Bible are not those refreshing swimming pools that we're thinking of in these warmer days. There are two famous pools associated with our Lord in St. John's Gospel. In John chapter 5, there is the Pool of Bethesda, which is located in the northeastern corner of Jerusalem. It's near the temple of Jerusalem. It was used for ritual purifications at the temple. And it was there at the Pool of Bethesda that Jesus heals a man who had been suffering for 38 years. The Pool of Bethesda was known throughout the Holy Land for its miraculous healing powers. In today's gospel, John chapter 9, we're talking about the Pool of Siloam. This pool is located in the opposite corner, in the southeastern corner of Jerusalem. And the Pool of Siloam is a reservoir for water supply in the city of Jerusalem. Way back in the 700s, King Hezekiah built a miraculous aqueduct that would bring water from the Gihon Spring in the Kidron Valley below up 1,750 feet up to the city of Jerusalem. So the Pool of Siloam is not a swimming pool. It's the water reservoir, the water supply for the city. And they called it Siloam because Hezekiah said he sent the water up to the city. Siloam, as we heard today, means to send. So it's at this pool, the Pool of Siloam, that the man born blind has the encounter of his life. It's there at the pool where Jesus anoints the blind man's eyes with his spittle and clay. The blind man washes his eyes in the pool, and for the first time in his life, he can see. What a great miracle. Sight. He can see. It is important now to put today's gospel in its liturgical context. Today's gospel from chapter 9 of St. John's Gospel was, by the way, never, ever, ever, never, ever read on a Sunday. Ever. For 1,700 years, it was always read on Wednesday of the fourth week of Lent, this coming Wednesday. Wednesday of the fourth week of Lent was the day of the great scrutiny for those catechumens who were preparing for the sacrament of baptism at Easter. At this special Lenten Mass on the fourth Wednesday of Lent, the catechumens listened first to several passages from the Old Testament. They listened to Ezekiel 36, which says, "I will cleanse you from all your idols, and I will give you a new heart and a new spirit." They listened to the gradual, which says, "Come, children, listen to me and be enlightened." They heard from Isaiah chapter 1, "Wash yourselves clean." And then the catechumens were presented for the first time with the four Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. After they were presented with the four Gospels, they were given the solemn traditio, the solemn handing on of the Creed and the Our Father. We still do that today. You know, last week I gave our catechumens their first copy of the Creed. It wasn't just because I was like, oh, I need to give them a nice little gift today. It's an ancient, ancient ritual. Next week, I'm going to give you your first copy of the Our Father, just like they did for over 1,700 years. Finally, after the handing on of the Creed and the Our Father, came the reading from John's Gospel, chapter 9, today's Gospel, with the confession of faith of the blind man. I do believe, Lord. And he worshiped him. So you can see clearly that this Gospel reading is perfect for our catechumens preparing for baptism. Now, it's also important to note that in Rome, the great scrutiny took place at the Station Church for that Wednesday of the fourth week of Lent, which, not by accident, is the Basilica of St. Paul outside the walls, where still today the body of St. Paul is buried underneath the high altar. Couldn't be more perfect, could it? Like today's Gospel, St. Paul was blinded by the light of Christ. And he couldn't see for 3 days. But then, after 3 days of blindness, St. Paul washed in the waters of baptism by the prophet Ananias. And immediately, St. Paul says, things like scales fell from his eyes, like dried clay falling to the ground. And now that blind Paul was enlightened and could now see, he immediately began to proclaim at once that Jesus is the Son of God. You see, St. Paul's experience mirrors the experience of the man born blind in today's Gospel, and it inspired the catechumens in their own conversion to Christ. It couldn't be more perfect. The blind man is blind from birth. The scripture actually says that he's blind from his mother's womb, which is a symbol of original sin. We are born. We are conceived in our mother's womb, in darkness, in our soul. We are conceived in the darkness of original sin. And then Jesus says, go and wash in the waters of the baptismal font. And then what will he do? He'll anoint the newly baptized. Sacred Scripture doesn't say Jesus smeared clay on the man's eyes. It actually says in Greek, he anointed the man's eyes. Now you know why we had the first reading today, about King David being anointed by the prophet Samuel. Now, you know why we had the psalm today, that beautiful Psalm 23, not only because the Good Shepherd leads us beside restful waters, but if you remember from the psalm, it says that the Good Shepherd anoints my head with oil, just like he'll anoint the catechumens with the sacred chrism oil. And then we hand the catechumens a candle, because like the blind man, they have been enlightened by the light of the world, who is Jesus Christ. In the early church, you know, they didn't call the sacrament of baptism the sacrament of baptism. They didn't say, hey, I'm preparing for baptism at Easter. In the early church, we have documentation all the way back to Justin Martyr. He died in 166. Justin Martyr writes about the sacrament, not of baptism, but enlightenment. Baptism was enlightenment. Come, children, listen to me and be enlightened. The blind man was enlightened by the light of Christ. And that's why the blind man is the only person in the gospel who saw who Jesus really is. The Pharisees were blind. They couldn't see who Jesus was. Only the blind man saw Jesus for who he really is, as the Son of God. He made his profession of faith in the midst of intense persecution, like our catechumens who are being persecuted for sticking up for Jesus. He made his act of faith. I believe in you, Jesus. And he worshiped him. You know, in the catechism, there are two types of sin. There's original sin that we're all born with, that we're all conceived with, that we inherit from Adam and Eve. And then there's actual sin that we personally freely commit. And the sacrament of baptism will remove from our catechumens, our elect, both original and actual sin will be washed away. But what do the rest of us do? What happens when we sin after baptism? We can't be rebaptized. What do we do? How does the Lord wash away my sins? You know the answer. After baptism, Jesus washes away our sins in the sacrament of penance. When we make a good, humble, honest confession. Because if the truth be told, honestly, unfortunately, I don't always live according to my baptism. I don't always live as a child of the light. Sadly, I don't always produce every kind of goodness, righteousness, and truth. When I commit actual sin, I close my eyes to Jesus. Sin makes me blind to Jesus and to his light. But when we expose our fruitless works of darkness and our sins to the light of Christ and the sacrament of penance, to his priest, our Lord says to us the words of St. Paul in chapter 5 of his letter to the Ephesians, found in today's second reading. You were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Take no part in the fruitless works of darkness. Rather, live as children of the light.